I'm going to continue. A few weeks ago, I started teaching on basically what I call the message is God is always right. And those of you that were here, I talked about, you know, he is who he says he is. You know, this that song is a terrific introduction for the message this morning, because that's what we're going to be talking about. You know, we talked about he is who he says he is, and we talked about I am who he says I am. And so today we're going to be talking about I have what he says I have, and I can do what he says I can do. If you are a child of God, this message is for you this morning. If you are not a child of God yet, you can become a child of God this morning. All you have to do is open your heart up to him and say, Jesus, I need you. I want you. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. And instantly, he is there. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I don't know if how many of you remember, but I'm just going to do a little bit of review to remind us of what, you know, we talked about with the first message. But God and Jesus are several things. God is omnipotent. Remember what omnipotent means? All powerful. God is omniscient. Remember what omniscient means? All knowledge, all knowing. Do you remember? And then omnipresent. What does that mean? He's everywhere. He's always there. We also talked about God is love, and that's the very, you know, these things, you know, as I said, it's not a total complete list, but you need to get a hold of these things for you to live a victorious life. You have to establish within yourselves, you have to believe that these things are totally true, or you're going to be very limited in your successful Christian life. First thing, that God is love. And so anytime someone tells you something, I don't care what preacher it is, I don't care where you read it, I don't care if you read it in the Bible, if it appears to say that God is not love, total love, and that he's not acting in a loving way, well, then it's either a lie or it's a lack of understanding of what the word is saying, because God is love. Everything he has ever done from the beginning of time is based on love. We may not understand everything. We may not, you know, understand because of various things, because of the language, because of the way it was written. God did everything he has ever done. He has done it because of love, okay? Also, God is good. You know, I said the word says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who has no variableness nor shadow of turning. So it's good, and we have to establish that within ourselves. God is always good. Okay? God does not take away from us. God does not divide. You know, God does not subtract. God does not take life. God is the author of life. So, we need to establish that. God is always good. If something happens in my life and it's not good, it's not God. I don't care who tells you what. God does not bring things into your life to teach you something. God does not bring pain into your life. God does not bring sickness into your life. God is good. So if it's good, it's God. If it's not, it's not God. Could be a lot of things, but it is not God. Another thing, the word says God can't lie. So we know that God is good and God is love, and he's always going to operate that way, because the word says God can't lie. So whatever God says is true. That's why the title of this message is God's always right. Whether I understand it or not, whether I agree with it or not, God is always right. And the last one we talked about is God is sovereign. And God isn't sovereign in that he controls everything and we have no choice. No, we were given it. You know, when God created man, he gave us the right to choose. So we live our lives by our choices, and we reap the consequences of our choices. And it's not that God is doing this and God is doing that. No, because you know what else? We are sovereign. You ever think of that? We talk about God being sovereign, but we are sovereign. God has made us sovereign individuals. Individuals. We are in total control of our lives. I'm not in control of anybody else's life. You're not in control of anybody else's life, but you are in total control of your life. You know, God set it up so that we have more power in our lives than he does. And Satan has no power in our life unless we decide to give him some. But we are in total control of our lives, which can be, boy, this is great, or it can be, I don't think I like that. Because we look at our lives and say, I don't like this, I don't like that. You know, I've got to blame somebody else. You know, it's got to be God's fault. It's got to be Satan's fault. It's got to be my parents' fault. It's got to be somebody else's fault, because it can't be me. I can't be responsible for the mess that I'm in. But yeah, you are. And if you don't like where you are, you can make different choices and end up differently in the future. Praise God. That is such good news to me. And then we went on and we talked about I am who he says I am. So some of the things we talked about, it says, I am crucified. I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the same is true. If you are born again, the old you is gone. It's dead. It's been crucified. You were on the cross with Jesus. And so it's gone. Excuse me. You are righteous. I am righteous. My life is as it should be. When I walk in righteousness, my life I should be experiencing life as God designed life to be. And we'll talk about some of the things of what that means today. I am redeemed. Jesus paid the price. I am forgiven because Jesus paid the price. He bore my sins on the tree. I am loved. You know, God is love and God loves me and I'm in him and he's in me. And so I am loved just like God is loved, okay? I am accepted. God accepts me just like I am. That doesn't matter how many times I screw up, God still accepts me. God looks at me as being holy. God looks at me as being pure. Why? Because when God looks at me, who does he see? Jesus. So I always stand before him holy and pure, and the same is true for you. And then we talked about, you know, we are seated in heavenly places. I am seated in heavenly places. You are so far above, it says, far above all principality and power. Satan has been defeated. Satan has no right in our lives. He has no power in our lives. You know, nothing is, we are above every kind of problem, anything you can think of, we are above that. That's where we are, okay? So that's some of who we are. That's who God says we are, and so because he doesn't lie, I have to choose to believe it. That's my choice. I choose to believe it or not. If I choose to believe it, then I have the opportunity to walk in it and enjoy it and experience it. If I choose not to believe it, well, then I am just kind of on my own. And I'll get to heaven when I die, but there's no promises in this life here. We may have our good days and our bad days, but basically, I'm on my own. But when I live in him, live as he says, experience what he says I have and who I am, then life can just keep getting better and better. Amen. And I am here to testify that that is true. I know that's true from experience. Okay, so now we're going to talk about I have what he says I have. And once again, this is not a complete list. This is just some of the biggies that, you know, the highlights we're going to be talking about today. The first one is John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So one of the things that we have is life. We have everlasting life. And if you look that up, that means there's no beginning and no end. So there was no beginning to our lives. You know, we've talked, you know, about this, that you know, we were there from beginning of time. Our spirits have always existed. You know, we came in this body, and we have a time period in this body, but we will be, you know, we were there from whenever the beginning was, and we will be there till whenever it ends. We're always going to exist. That's mind-boggling. You can't comprehend that. But that's what the word says, okay? Now, the one thing that as we go through these and, you know, in talking about I have what he says I have and I can do what he says I can do, if you look at the word and you read all these scriptures, you know, all these promises, you know, all these great things that belong to us, as you study it out, you realize it's based on relationship. You know, it's not, you know, so much of the time, you know, we looked at it as being, you know, these things that we're going to talk about, you know, it's my first aid kit. Okay, I'm doing fine, you know, things are going pretty well, so yeah, I'm trucking along, I'm doing okay. Then all of a sudden I get sick. Well, I got to run to God. Okay, now I've got to start making my confessions. You know, I got to start speaking the word now. I've got to do something because all of a sudden I'm sick and I need help and I need to go to God. So, you know, and then I get healed again and so I go back to doing my own thing. Or maybe peace, you know, and I'm just trucking along, I'm doing okay, and then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, something goes wrong. You know, all of a sudden, I have fear issues, I have anxiety issues, you know, my marriage is in trouble, you know, I'm having problems with my kids, you know, I'm having problems at work, and all of a sudden, you know, my life is full of stress and anxiety, and, you know, well, life happens, and, you know, all this stuff, and okay, got to get out that first aid kit again, you know, what I need to find a pill for this, or I need to find at least a Band-Aid or a splint or something, because I need peace. You know, I'm just miserable. You know, I'm going to the doctor and I'm taking medication. I'm doing this and I'm doing that because I don't have any peace. And I go to get prayer and, you know, pray for me and I need help. And yeah, you know, and so finally, you know, for whatever way we get our peace back. And so that we go back to doing our own thing. And I'm trucking along and I'm doing my own thing until something else goes wrong. And then I go back to God. You know, it doesn't work that way. Don't expect to live victoriously and successfully and on top. And, in, you know, and is this what we're talking about this morning? And these scriptures that belong to us, they belong to us. But don't expect it if your relationship is not increasing with God. Don't expect to live there because it's not going to happen. And it's not because God's punishing you or because God doesn't want it. No, he set up the system. And the system is you do this, you get this. You don't do that, you don't get that. And it's not that God is punishing us. That's how the system works. It's just like you have a car. If you don't put gas in that car, it's not going to work. Or if you add sugar or salt to the gas, it's not going to work. You've got to work with the system. Well, you know, it may not like the system, but it's still, if you don't go away, you jump off a building, you're going down. Whether you like gravity or not, you're going down. And we need to recognize this. God set up laws from the very beginning of time. These laws are still in operation. And there's multiple laws. There's still laws that we don't even understand, that man has not discovered yet. You know, they're just tapping into the realm of quantum physics. And I heard somebody say recently, you know, you have Newtonian physics, which most of us, this is what we live by. It's the natural laws. But now, if you study and you start looking into it, now there's a world of quantum physics. And there's a whole different set of rules that override the natural laws in quantum physics. But then what this person was saying was, you know, you have the Newtonian physics and then you have the quantum physics, but then you have the spiritual realm above that. Amen. And that's, you know, with the natural laws, man can accomplish a lot with the natural laws. You don't have to be born again to have those laws work for you. You don't have to be born again to have the laws of quantum physics work for you. And man is learning how to tap into the laws of quantum physics, and they are getting miraculous results. Man is getting healings. They are getting all sorts of things because they're tapping into these laws. But the thing about us is we can even go higher than that. But we need to learn to start tapping into the quantum physics laws. And some of it, you know, there's hit and miss, you know. Miracles, they're quantum physics laws. We just don't understand it. But then, you know, but we need to, you know, we have so much more that we don't have a clue. But there's so much more that is available to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's continue on here. Isaiah 53:5 kind of encapsulates all of the things we're going to talk about this morning. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And that word peace, you just tap into that word peace. That word shalom, this is the meaning of shalom. Peace, completeness, safety, soundness in body, welfare, health, prosperity, quiet, tranquility, contentment. You can have a really good life if you just have that. And that's what belongs to us. And I'm not going to take a showing of hands to see how many of you are living in all of these. But for the most part, the church, you know, doesn't live in much of any of it. And it's time we do. Amen. It's time we start living in what belongs to us. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So what's some other scripture to share with you? John 14:27. John 14:27, peace. Jesus is speaking here. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So in other words, you know, peace is where we're supposed to be living. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. So we are not supposed to be living in fear. We are not supposed to have anxiety. We are not supposed to be worrying. We, you know, we're not supposed to be under, you know, stress all the time. But most of the church is. Once again, I won't take a show of hands of how many of you are living in fear. You know, you're dealing with fear, you're dealing with anxiety, you're dealing with panic attacks, you know, your digestive system is all screwed up because of the stress you're living in. But God says peace. Jesus says peace. That's where we're supposed to be living. That's what belongs to us. This peace is talking about the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God. As Shell was talking about before, you know, so much of the body of Christ, because of our religious training that has seeped in either from teaching in the church or from, you know, religion that we've, you know, heard from our childhood or whatever, and there's so much religious stuff that we have in us that is still, you know, affecting our lives, and so we're afraid of God. You know, we're afraid to, you know, how many times I've heard over the years, you know, I don't want to come to church, I feel like a hypocrite. You know, I'm not going to praise God when I'm at church because I feel like a hypocrite. That is the stupidest thing. Because who you are is a child of the Most High God. I don't care how screwed up you've been all week. We should be coming in when we come to service, and we should be tapping in when the time of praise and worship, you know, and the time of singing, we should be tapping into who we are. We should be allowing God to heal us of all the garbage that we dealt with during the week. We should be thanking Him for everything that He has accomplished in us. Amen. We shouldn't be coming to church feeling like, you know, God says, you know, God is, you know, if I praise the Lord, you know, then you know, it doesn't count because, you know, I messed up this week. You're children of the Most High God. You are before Him. You are holy. You are pure. You are loved. You are accepted. And I know it takes time. It takes effort. It takes work, working on your relationship with Him, learning how to experience His love. I've had enough religious garbage in my background, and I was raised Pentecostal. So some of you that had even more, you know, a religious background than I had, you know, you've got stuff too. And we can't pretend it's not there. We need to recognize it. We need to take it to God. We need to allow Him to heal it. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. We all have broken hearts at some level. But it doesn't, we don't have to keep them. That's why Jesus came. Praise you, Jesus. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Once again, Jesus is speaking. In the world you're going to have the tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now you could probably, most of you sitting here could say, yeah, I know that scripture. Praise God, hallelujah, no. But I looked up overcome, and I did not know this is what overcome meant. I mean, I had my own belief for what it was. But overcome here, it says to deprive of it of power to harm, to subvert its influence. So in other words, Jesus is saying here, you know, the world, you know, we don't live in heaven. You know, we live in this world, in the world system. So there's going to, you know, we're going to deal with stuff. But it doesn't, according to this, He overcame it. So it has no right. It cannot hurt you. Nothing in the world can harm you. Nothing can pull you away from God. Nothing can defeat you. Well, yeah, that sounds good. No, that's true. Nothing can defeat you. Not in Jesus. And yet we live defeated lives so much of the time. And this is no judgment because, you know, looking at my life and I'm figuring it out. It was like 8-9 years ago. I can remember sitting, you know, in my, doing my morning devotions and stuff. And just, I was so hopeless. You know, someone just shared with me the scripture. Maybe it was you guys. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that's where I was. I was sick, just, you know, emotionally sick. I was just, you know, unless you knew, you know, most people probably didn't know where I was. But it just, for whatever reason, I got to a point where I was at bottom. But now what I've been through in the past 9 years and you know, what I've been through in the past year, and, you know, I've said it and I'll say it again. I am closer to God. I am more victorious than I have ever been in my life. And it's because of focusing on my relationship with Him. Amen. I don't teach from the perspective of, you know, this is what you should do, you know, and it's all better. No, I'm just because I'm me. If it doesn't work for me, I'm not going to teach it. So I come not because I'm up here and you're down here, but I know it works. Amen. And that's the only way I can sell something, is because I know it works. Amen. I can't sell something unless I know it works. I know it's good. And this is good. Praise God. Isaiah 26:3, perfect peace. He says he'll keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him. See, it comes back to that relationship. It comes back to our focus. If you're not focusing on God, if you're not focusing on the Word, you know, and it's not like you have to sit there and be reading the Bible all the time. I know, you know, God knows each of us individually. God knows your situation right now. God knows how many hours you have to work. God knows where you are physically. God knows what your family situation is. And yet God says, I want to have a relationship with you. So if you're in a situation, you know, and I've talked to people over the years and, you know, talked about, you know, getting in the morning and spending time with God in the morning. And they said, you know, I get up at 5:30 and I just can't get up any earlier. Well, you know what? God knows that. But we can't say, you know, I can't get up at 5:30, so forget this, you know. You know, God, I'm not going to spend any time with God. I'm not. What do you want? Do you actually want to experience what God has paid the price for, what Jesus has paid the price for? Do you actually want a life that is a testimony to God's goodness? If you actually do, God will show you how to make it work. You know, if you read anything about exercise, you know, it used to be you had to exercise, you know, half an hour at a time to have it be successful. But now they say if you exercise even 10 minutes at a time, you know, even 5 minutes, you know, you do it, you know, these different various ways of doing it. But it doesn't have to be for long periods of time. I have gotten to the point, so most of the time I'm in communion with God. Most of my day I'm in communion with God. Does that mean I'm sitting there and reading the Bible or just sitting in His presence? No. I got stuff to do just like you do. Amen. But don't tell me you can't have a relationship with God. Don't tell me you don't have the time. You're lying to yourself. Amen. And with this congregation, you know, I know we have some visitors here this morning, so I'm getting on the case of this congregation. But as I said Friday night, most of you have been born again at least 20 years. Don't give me your excuses anymore. If you actually want a relationship with God, you'll do something about it. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Another thing he says, you know, what he says we have is health. And we know this, you know, I'm not going to go into this a lot. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, or by his bruising you were healed. And then Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. The thing that you need to know is God wants me healthy all the time. I don't have to be sick because Jesus paid the price for it. If I do get sick, Jesus paid the price so I can be healed. So, and it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're born again or not. It does not matter if you just did this horrible sin. It is still God's will for you to be healed. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it is God's will for you to be healed. If you are not healed, then your responsibility is to find out, you know, spend time with Him and find out, you know, He will take you the next step. There are ways that God will bring healing into your life if you actually pursue Him for the answer and not just, you know, well, I was prayed for and, you know, it's not working, so I give up. You know, this is just, you know, this He's probably trying to teach me something, or this is just I have to put up with this or whatever. You know, it may take some time and your healing may not come in one instant, but I guarantee it is God's will for you to be healed. Guarantee it. Praise God. Another thing, prosperity. Like I said, all this stuff is basic stuff. Nothing, you know, not out of the ordinary we're talking about this morning. So let's just read some familiar scriptures. 1 Corinthians, is that first or second? Can't see. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. This phrase, might become rich, it's not just talking about money. It's talking about, you know, prosperity is not just money. You know, I think we know that by now. It's not just finances. When we're prosperous, it's our whole life. You know, the word it talks about another scripture is in Proverbs. You know, the blessings of the Lord makes rich, and there's no sorrow with it. So, you know, when it comes from God, there's no sorrow. So it's just, we are spirit, soul, and body. So we're blessed in our spirit. We're blessed in our soul. We're blessed in our mind. We're blessed in our body. All the areas, that's prosperity. That's what belongs to us. And Jesus paid the price for it. That's what Jesus became poor for, so that we might be rich in all areas. 2 Corinthians, that is 2nd, right? 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So we see here, God wants us to have abundance. But we don't get abundance to put it, you know, spend it all on ourselves. What does he say here? Abundance for every good work. So we have an abundance to give. That's why God is not into poverty. If you're poor, if you're barely making it along, how in the world are you going to give to help somebody else? You know, in the Word over and over again, it talks about helping the poor, helping to reach out to the poor. Where if you're poor, how do you help the poor? God wants to prosper us. God wants to bless us financially, but not just financially. Why? So that we can bless others. So we can be a testimony to those around us of the goodness of God. I don't know how many of you were here, but years ago, when Jeff taught on did offering for a children's ministry Sunday, and he said he said these words, never forget them. He said that we should be able to pay people's house payments with the change in our pocket. I'm not there yet. I don't know about you. Praise God. If it's in your heart to be a giver, then you can plan on receiving a whole lot. Okay. Deuteronomy 8:18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Remembering that God gives us the power to get wealth. That word power is talking about ability. God gives us the ability. I don't know how to, you know, improve my finances. I don't understand. No, God gives you the ability. And we'll see, there's more scriptures to back this up. But God gives us the ability. If you're a born-again child of God, you have within you the ability to make money. Amen. It's in there. Amen. And it's up to you how much, you know, how far you want to go with it. Amen. But it's in there. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, what? I shall not want, I shall not lack. Anything I can ever need. You know, what is it? David says, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You know, I've fallen back onto that one different times over the years. You know, I am righteous. So that means I'm never going to be without food. We can be guaranteed of that, you know. You know, the basic necessities of life. You know, talks in Matthew, you know, when it ends with Matthew 6:33. He says, you know, you have, I forget exactly how it says. You know, food and raiment, you know, be content. But God knows you need food. God knows you need a place to live. God knows you need clothes to wear. So we don't have to even pray about that stuff. God knows. As I focus on him and as I experience him and I grow in my love for him, just it's going to happen. You're going to have the money to pay your bills. The more we harmonize with him, the more we line up with him in our relationship, there's going to be, you know, there's a ton of stuff you don't have to pray about. It just comes with a package. You know, it's like going to a resort. You know, a lot of stuff just comes with a package. It's not like you have to pay extra for stuff. It just comes with a package, and that's how it is with God. Just lining up with him and growing in him, it just comes with a package. Praise God. Another thing is protection. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that word salvation there means deliverance, preservation, safety. It's one of my little pet peeves, and, you know, once again, this is my issue, not yours. But, you know, so many, you know, people, you know, Christians, you know, they believe this stuff and believe this stuff, but they leave out protection. And it's like, okay, I've got to pray to be protected. You know, I've got to pray to be, you know, make sure I do my confession so I'm protected. It comes with a package. Amen. You are protected. Period. As long as, you know, we're lining up with God and we're listening to him. And if you're in stress, you can't hear God. If you're in stress, you may hear, remember something he told you in the past. But if you're in stress, because the body actually shuts down, you cannot connect. The physical body actually shuts down in stress, because stress is basically, it's for fight or flight. So in other words, you know, if you read the natural, secular, you know, it's that you know, we have this, you know, they say that, you know, that you believe that there's a dinosaur after you or whatever, and so, you know, you believe that there's a lion after you. That's what your body believes, you know, that's what it's based on. That there's something going come after you to destroy you. So everything shuts down, you know, your digestion shuts down, everything shuts down, and you cannot hear God when you're under stress. So what should we do? We need to learn how to get in peace. And we need to learn how to live in peace. Because in the days that we live in, and in the future days that are ahead of us, we must be able to hear the voice of God. Amen. That's where our safety is. That's where our protection is. That's where our health is. That's where our prosperity is hearing the voice of God on a regular basis, all the time. And can I tell you that I know the voice of God all the time? I do not. I have not gotten there yet. But I know more now than I did a year ago. I hear him more clearly now than I did 6 months ago. But it's God has a system. If we work in his system, it works. Okay, another one is blessings. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. In other words, all the promises. If you find a promise in the Bible, it belongs to you as a child of God. But once again, it's as your relationship is, how much you're going to be experiencing. But it belongs to you. Proverbs 10:22, as I read this one before, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. That's, you know, if you try to get rich on your own, you know, you may have good times, you may have bad times, you may lose your health getting rich, you may lose your family getting rich, but within God, there's no sorrow. You don't lose anything. You get it all. You get the full package when we do it God's way. Okay? So let's move on to I can do what he says I can do. Philippians 4:13, probably most all of you know this verse. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. I can do it in Christ. But on the other side, so, you know, we have to remember that, because in Christ, I can do it all. Amen. But then Jesus talks about, and it's either John 14 or 15, I think, it talks about outside of me, you can do nothing. So if we recognize in him, I can do it all, but outside of him, I can't do anything, Then wouldn't it just be wisdom to learn how to do it in him instead of trying to, you know, do our own thing? And, you know, I've got this, you know, I'm responsible for my life. I can, you know, I can do it. And it's true. You know, we all do stuff and we don't have to ask God every time. Okay, God, what do I do now? Although literally I have actually done that, you know, with mechanical things, I've actually done that. But, I can do it all through him. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he can, what I have grace available to me. What is grace? Grace is God's ability to do, for me to do what I can't do on my own. So it goes along with the verse we just read. I can do it. And there's been days that, you know, that I've got, God, I need your grace. I need your grace. You know, when Wayne was alive in the last year or two, you know, as he was losing more strength, you know, there were days, you know, trying to get him into the car and literally, God, I need your grace. And God always came through. Never dropped him.
Thank you, Lord.
He wasn't a fan of that, I will tell you. Wasn't a fan of being dropped. But it says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The only time you get grace is when you need it. You know, and that's why, you know, people think, you know, they screwed up. You know, they're not following God. So, you know, I can't go to God. I can't ask him for anything. You know, I can't expect God to help me in anything. But that's contrary to this scripture. The scripture says, come boldly before the throne of grace. In time of need, I have grace for you. You're my child. I don't care how many times you're screwed up. You're still my child and I still have grace. All you have to do is come to me and ask for it. And it's there. And the mercy to go along with it. So even though you screwed up and we haven't sorted everything out, you know, between us again yet, and we're not maybe on good terms totally yet, the mercy is still there. Amen. You're not going to get zapped. His mercy is there to go along with the grace. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that word mind means the faculties of perceiving and understanding. Just think about that a little bit. You have the mind of Christ. You know who Jesus is, right? You know he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? You know he has all knowledge, right? You know he has all power, right? You know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never leaves you. That's whose mind you have. You know, he created the universe. You know, he knows the beginning from the end. That's whose mind you have access to. We're living so far behind, so far below of who we are. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, and this is in the old King James, I liked it better. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Thing I wanted to focus on is wisdom. You know, the word says we can ask for wisdom anytime you need wisdom. And wisdom is the practical application of information. So, you know, I don't know if you like me, but there's some things, you know, especially mechanics, I'm not good at. And I can read something, you know, how to do something, put something together 5 times, and I'm still not sure of, you know, if the picture's off or anything. I'm still not, yeah. So, you know, but whatever it is, God can show you how to do it. You know, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, you know, whether it's a recipe, whether it's dealing with your kids, you know. Have you ever, you know, I have... This is just very practical. You know, I have chickens. And there, I can remember a couple times it happened to me. And I've got, you know, the fence is, it's netting is the fence that I use for them. And then you're supposed to electrify it, which right now the angels are working, not the electricity. But anyhow, I've had a couple times where I have had chickens that got totally... You know, I don't know how they did it, but somehow they got totally wound up in the fence. And, you know, and so you got wings and bodies, and it's just, and it's not just lift them out. It's figuring out, and you try and try. And I have prayed more than once, God, I need your wisdom. I need to figure out how to get this chicken out without injuring it or killing it. And God has come through every time. The wisdom, it's not just spiritual things. It's life. God cares about your life, your day-to-day life. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin, this is another one, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You rule over sin. You have dominion over sin. You do not have to sin. Jesus didn't sin. So whatever Jesus did, you know, we have the capability of living like Jesus did on this earth. He was a person, a man. We are people. Now, is it likely that we won't ever screw up? No. But it's possible. And we need to approach life like that. We don't have to be sick. We can always be in peace. And we don't have to sin. You know, and I told you before, you know, sin is basically missing. You know, Jesus, God has this incredible life for us, And every time we don't, you know, we miss it. You know, the sin, one of the definitions of sin is miss the mark. Anytime that we don't experience what we have available to us, that's basic, that's sin. So in his fear is sin. You know, when it comes down to it, sickness is actually sin. Now, does that mean it's a judgment or a condemnation or anything? No. But our life should be about experiencing everything that is available to us. And we have dominion over it. We don't have to be, you know, experience that. We don't have to live in that level. And my last verse is Romans chapter 5, verse 17. In the King James, once again, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Amen. We are called to reign. That word reign means the supreme moral dignity, liberty, blessedness, which will be enjoyed by Christ's redeemed ones. There is so much more available to us. And you know, my desire this morning is, if nothing else, it will open your eyes to see, I don't have to live where I am now. I don't have to stay here. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care your background. I don't care how much sin you've committed this past week or how much sin you plan on committing next week. If you can just get your eyes to you know, if the Holy Spirit, you just allow the Holy Spirit to just show you, life could be so much better. There is so much more available to us. And in my, I'm after experiencing every bit of God that I can while I'm on this earth. Amen. Amen. I believe I need that. You need that. You know, as I talked about, you know, Friday night, you know, it's comfort zone time is over. You know, we've talked about this in the past. And I'm not saying, you know, I've got to just totally change my life, and I've got to read the Bible for an hour a day, and I've got to, you know, pray for 2 hours a day. No, take a step. Take a step towards God. Whatever it is, it's between you and God. Every one of us are in different places. But this morning, take a step towards God. Make a decision to take a step closer to God. It just, life, there's so much more. And I don't want it just for me. I want it for all of us. You know, my desire is that this congregation will be a testimony to the goodness of God. As always, we go back and do this song again. Hopefully it means a little bit more to you now than it did the first time around. But let's start, you know, let's tap into everything that God, his presence this morning, his love, his goodness. He is here. Amen. Open yourself up to him. However you need to do it so that we can experience more of what he has for us. Praise God. Amen.